Welcome to the latest podcast from Heritage of Faith Church on the Gold Coast of Australia. For any more information, or if you would simply like to contact us, please visit www.heritageoffaith.com.au. We hope that you will be blessed by today's message.
Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you right now for your time, your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for what you're doing amongst us, Lord. Lord, above all, we're just honored to be a part of what you're doing in this nation, in this time, and in this season, Father. I pray right now, Lord, that every heart is open to receive your word. And Lord, as I speak it, Lord, that it comes out of a heart of love and compassion, a heart of grace, Lord, wanting to see every person in here become all that you've created them to be, Father. So I thank you that every heart will receive it as it is. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 You know, what's amazing is that this church has such a high volunteer rate. It's amazing. It's like we've got to be careful that we have service and nobody's here. Everybody's servicing and there's nobody sitting in the chairs because everybody's doing something. You know, you've got to actually cut them back and say, can you come and sit in the seats? Otherwise, we're preaching to no one because most of you are volunteers. Most of you do something. Most of you are part of the body. And that's the way God designed it. Amen? God designed us to all bring our parts, our different giftings, and come into the body and bring our part. I've shared this before. The worst thing to do when you go to a family dinner is some prepare and do everything and others do nothing. It gets annoying. Amen? I know I'm working on that area of my life. But, you know, if you can cook, cook. If you can clean, clean. If you can keep the kids in control, keep them in control. But don't let them mess the place and kill everything. Amen? So we all have a gift to bring to the table. And this morning I'm going to be sharing a few things with you. If you turn with me to Hebrews 13, verse 20 to 21. And it says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete. Who's he talking to? Us. So he wants to make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is the well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom glory forever and ever. Amen. Now let me ask you this. He wants to prepare you for a good work. He wants to prepare me for a good work. Is sharing the good news, sharing the gospel, a good work? Yes. Is laying hands on the sick a good work? Is encouraging one another a good work? Yes. Is exhorting or teaching or helping somebody, serving, a good work? So he wants to equip and prepare us for every good work, to do his will in us and through us. Can you see that? That's for every single believer. Why don't you all say, all in.
All in.
All in. Not some in, not half in, all in. We all have a part to play. I like the Passion Translation. It says, may work perfection into every part of you, giving you all that you need to fulfill your destiny. The Amplified says, equip you with every good work to carry out his will and strengthen you. So can you see that God's number one desire is to equip us, to strengthen us, to do his will. In other words, that we can become vessels he can use and begin to flow through us. For his purpose. Amen? That's for every believer. That's for you on live stream, sitting there eating popcorn while it's warm. That's for every single person in the auditorium. It's for every believer. Amen? Send us some popcorn. It'll be good. I want to share some stats with you. 20 out of 22 denominations, they classified as Christians. But when they say Christians, it's broken up into 22 denominations. Okay, so it's a very broad statement, the statement Christians. Okay, there's a difference between believers and disciples that flow in power and authority than just labeling yourself as a Christian. So you need to hear my heart on this. But out of the 22 denominations, they say 3 in 10 adults are actually involved in a high level in their congregation. 3 in 10. This is the stats overall. And how they've measured it is by membership, church attendance, and small group activities. Now, let me say this. It's the small groups. It's the coming together in the little, ministering one to another, that build the body, not just on a Sunday on church. So they've measured it based on those things. Do you know who the two highest ranking were? Mormons and Jehovah's Witness had the highest commitment rates out of everyone. The Pentecostal church, who is called to lay hands on the sick, bring people to Christ, are somewhere down at the bottom. This is not a condemning message. You need to hear this. I'm going to ramp it up just now. But I need to lay a platform, because God has been leading me to show me things. What is the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of the fivefold, the giftings, the pastors, the evangelists, the teachers? What is their purpose and assignment on this planet? And there's a link between you and them. And I want to show you that in a few minutes. Amen. Ephesians 4, 7, and I'm going to read through to, I think, 14. I had it. But it says from verse 7, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore," he says, "when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." Now, I'm going to stop there for a second. He gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to men. He never gave titles to men. Even though the title has a function to identify something, identify an authority or responsibility given to the body, but he said, "I gave gifts to men." Now, let me ask you this. If I wrapped up a gift and gave it to you, you've got to receive it. You've got to open it up, and you've got to enjoy what's inside. So if you look at the gift and go, "I don't want it," what's happened? It's going to stay there wrapped up, but you aren't going to benefit from the gift. So you need to understand this concept. God has a structure. He has a protocol. He has an authority. He has a lot more wisdom than we do, but he gave gifts to men, you and I. Amen. Now, if you look at the definition of gifts, it talks about an offering, a contribution, an endowment, or a technique, power, ability, or strength. So think about those words for a second. So what was Jesus saying? I gave offerings, contributions, endowments, abilities, strength, wrapped it up, packaged them, and gave them to men. All in one package. Are you with me? Which is important to catch. Now, the thing is this. Not one is the same. Have you ever been to a Christmas tree and all the gifts are wrapped up differently? They'll look different, right? Different sizes, different shapes, right? Different packaging. Which means you can't put one size fits all. One pastor cannot look the same as another. One prophet won't look the same as another. One evangelist won't look the same as another. If we try and put them and stereotype them and say that's what it should look like, it becomes religious and we kill the gift. So God has wrapped them up different shapes, sizes, to make the tree look more endurable when you come there and you go, "Oh, I want this one, I want this one." It's been given to us as gifts for a plan and a purpose, amen? But we have to receive it. Now, I'm going to say this. I love what John Maxwell said about this, and I'm not downplaying authority, hear my heart. God has put church leadership in place as authority. Everybody hear that? So the next statement, don't hang on that and say, that's what you... Yes, I know. You need to catch the heart of everything I'm saying this morning. God put church authority in place because God has structure and protocol he works with. We're all there. But look what John Maxwell said. I love this. There is a difference between building his kingdom, that's God's kingdom, and equipping his people, the saints, to establish it. There's a difference between that versus building my kingdom, my empire, and using and controlling his people to establish it. See, this is where the churches have restricted the power to flow through and the body to become all it's called to be. God, I'm going to say this again, has put structure and authority in place for a reason. But there's a difference between establishing his kingdom, equipping his people to build the body, and establishing our kingdom and using his people to establish our kingdom. There's a difference. Now, in this place, you're going to find the first part, that we have to build the body to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, and that's what I'm going to be talking on, to build the body. Okay? So I'm laying some foundations. I'm laying some foundations. Now, before I go on, the prophet was called to speak forth God's word and plans to inspire, correct, and motivate. The apostle, now you also need to understand that the gifts bear fruits. So you can't walk around declaring something if there's no fruits bearing with it. Remember, it's not about the title. It's about the gifting. You need to catch that. So the apostle is sent forth to pioneer and establish new works. That's the job of the apostle. The evangelist is to share Christ with outsiders and teach others to do the same. Can you see that? The pastor shepherds, guides, guards people while they serve and become all they're meant to be. The teacher trains God's people in truth and then teaches others to do the same. Now, you need to understand that sometimes you will find a mix between them. Sometimes you'll have somebody that's more predominant as a pastor, but he has prophetic, and he'll flow in the prophetic, and he'll flow in the two. Sometimes somebody will be leaning more to apostolic, but they have teaching attached to them. So one size does not fit all. God gives gifts for the body he's called for a specific purpose. He knows what's needed to that body. Amen? You get that? So it's important to understand that. So jump with me to Ephesians 4, 12 to 14. So the whole purpose of the fivefold ministry is coming now. Tell your neighbor, watch this. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So how it used to look was you get a church, you get a pastor, and he does everything. That's why they burn out, that's why they fatigue, and that's why the kingdom does not advance. I'm preaching this morning. Kingdom stuff. Kingdom stuff. You missed the motivational message last week, but this week's kingdom stuff I'm talking. So it's to equip you all to do the work of the ministry. Here's a newsflash. Everyone's called to the ministry. You might not be called to the fivefold, but you're called to the ministry. The ministry of Jesus Christ. The ministry working inside of us, in us, and through us. Every single person is called to that ministry. You know, I think about Stormy. You join chariots. It's not the ministry. It's not your ministry. But you're flowing with the ministry of Jesus in you, and you've just been given a platform to flow through. Amen? And you're getting good at it. And God's grace is on you. And you make us proud, brother. He's winning souls. He's telling people. His head's out the way, but he's just going, I'm going to be a fool for Jesus. You need a cross. Why do I need a cross? Because Jesus loves you. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come into unity. Do you know why we still need the fivefold today? Because I don't know if you looked around. I haven't seen the fullness of unity in the body of Christ. And I haven't seen the fullness of maturity. So guess what? The fivefold is not obsolete. There's no Lone Ranger ministries out there. The fivefold is still required today till he comes back. Because that's when we will be perfected. I can't say that again. I can't remember what I just said. So the knowledge of the Son of God to perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of Facebook, Google, YouTube, doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitfulness. So the fivefold is there for a specific reason. To equip, to guard, to protect, to nurture, and to prepare you, the saints, for a specific work of ministry that God has for every single one of you. You know the word nurture, where it talks about equipping the saints, the word nurture means to care for, protect, guide, help, and encourage, and to bring education. Right now I'm bringing education. Right now I'm bringing the word to you to bring revelation and insight for a specific assignment for the body. Okay, that's one part of it. But the other part of the word equipping is talking about prepare. And it means to get ready to do or ready to deal with. So think about that. Is getting you all ready to deal with something or to do something. So we all have a ministry assignment. We all have giftings God wants to use us in every day. Don't package him in a box and register a trademark over your head, because you limit him. He will use you as he wants. He says, I distribute the gifts as I will. We can flow in all the gifts. Don't have to be limited to anything. But if I go, that's all I do. If I go, I only flow in word of knowledge. I'm word of knowledge. Wrap me up, package me. This is word of knowledge. You want a word? Come to me. What have I done? A short circuit, gift of healing flowing through me, gift of discerning of spirits flowing through me. I short circuit all those other things. So as the Holy Spirit wants, he's got something for every single one of you to be used and move through you every single day, Monday through to Sunday, to those that are willing and obedient. Every single person. Amen? And to deal with what? When you're dealing with the demonic, the spirit realm, to prepare you, how do you deal with that? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. How do we deal with that out there? See, we can't come to church and have highs and then go out there and be so stuck on the natural things that we've got to do every day, which is great and practical. But sometimes we have to deal with things that are blocking things, and we need to know how to deal with those things. Sometimes we're praying for healing, Norm, and we don't know what's happening, but we need to deal with those things, right? So we need to be equipped. Sometimes people aren't being set free, and we need to learn, how do we deal with what we're facing? Maybe there's a block in finances. How do we deal with that block? What is the block? That's the job of the fivefold. But the doing is you. Say, I'm a doer. I'm a doer. Amen. So it's got nothing to do with our banner. I want to show you something. If you read Ephesians 4:12, but if I looked in the New King James, it says, for the work of the ministry. In the Passion Translation, it says, own works of ministry. See, it doesn't say own ministry. It says own works of ministry. In the Message, it says, to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work. In the Good News, it says, prepare God's people for the work of Christian service. In the NLT, it says, to do his work and build up his church. Amen? Can you see there? Every single one of us are called to a service in the body to do his work through us, not our work. Amen? Christ in us, the hope of glory, wants to move through us wherever we go. I missed an opportunity the other day. I go, oh, why are you sharing that? Because I want you to realize that it's real. I'm no special to anyone. Okay? I was having coffee with somebody and my wife and myself, and we got up and I had to get somewhere. But there was a lady cleaning at the kitchens, and her face kept, like, you know when you're drawn to it? And I walked away and she smiled as we got up and walked away. And I walked down and I said, Holy Spirit, I missed something, didn't I? And he said, yes, you did. I had a word for her. And I was like, Lord, I remember her face. And I've been praying, Lord, send her across my path again. I'll get the word to you, to her. I'll never let time rush me when I need to do something. I'm just trying to be real with you all. Is that okay to be real? Yeah. There's been times I've hit it on and there's been times I've missed it. Like anyone. But he wants to flow through everybody, not just your pastors, not just the evangelists, not just the prophets. He wants to work through every single one of us. Amen? Can I read you some commentary quickly from my Bible? It said this, equipping believers, supernatural ministry is not a flamboyant display of platform stars who gather followers like satellites. True supernatural ministry at work in the church give life to spiritual functional people throughout the whole church. True, we are believing for true supernatural miracles. True supernatural. Guess where it's going to work through? All of you. Don't come to church looking at the pastors and saying, what's going to flow through there? Come expecting, saying, Holy Spirit, what are you going to do through me today? When you go out there, Holy Spirit, what are you going to do through me today? That's where you start seeing the supernatural move of God. That's where you start seeing revival begin to happen in this nation, is when each person rises up into who they're called to be and begin to let the Holy Spirit flow through in boldness. You have a word for somebody. It doesn't have to be a long thing. You just have one word bubble up. But remember, everything's in edification. Anytime somebody comes to you and speaks doom, that was the better version.
Well, I was about to say, wipe it off. I'll go with that one. Wipe it off. God only edifies and lifts up because he wants to see you win. So be careful of doom and gloom prophecies that come across your path. Amen? Satan will send them, I promise you. True supernatural ministry at the work in the church give life to spiritual functional people throughout the whole church family. The body is to be built up by mutual efforts of all the members supplying their contribution to the whole. The goal to empower people requires mentoring, training, imparting, and discipling. The fivefold job is to mentor, train, impart, and disciple. Your job is to begin to stir up and be a vessel for God to flow through you. Because if you have the boldness. You know, David, the other day I was told by Pastor Ian, he was in hospital. And you know, my message was ringing in me. He said, God, lay hands on him. I said, but Lord, I can pray from here. He said, God, lay hands on him. I had a little window, right, David? And I got there, I said, what do you want, David? He said, I want to be a Jesse on Thursday. I said, David, I'm going to get an agreement. I got 10 minutes, I have to leave because I got to get to prayers to open up. I'm going to stand in agreement with you. You're going to be a Jesse on Thursday. Were you at prayers on Thursday, a Jesse? Yes, you were. We hear many testimonies. That's not me. That's God and just being obedient. God will do it for anybody. My wife was on the beach the other day, and this is not her strength. People say, I'm not called to evangelize to people. There's a lady, she was standing next to us, and she was 91 years old, but she looked no older than 70 years old. And Megan was talking, and I was talking, then looking at the beach, talking, looking at the beach, and I heard my wife ask you a lot of questions. I said, you should have been a lawyer. I should have sent you to law school. I could have surfed more. We'd make a lot of money, man. She would have knocked people out of the park. You know, don't pick a fight with her. But she was asking so many questions, and eventually I looked, I had to go. But then I felt the Holy Spirit arrest me, said, I'm not done. And I knew, okay, he's busy working through her. He's about to do something. So I left it. Now I know her, and I can sense she's in that comfort zone where you go, it's very uncomfortable now because I know you're stirring me. And only afterwards did I realize that she said, the lady was 91 years old, and I felt I would not be able to live with myself if I didn't reach out, not knowing if somebody reached out to her and she died the next week. Amen? It's for everybody. If we're just obedient and listen and look for opportunities, God will begin to start moving through us. Amen? You don't need education. You don't need to have intellect to do it. Just obedience and boldness, and he'll work through you. Amen? Now, the work of the ministry. Let me talk to you about the ministry. The word ministry in the Greek is diakonia. It means attendance, service, minister, ministering, ministration, ministry. So its bottom line is about being available for God to use you in any area. Whether it's service, we heard about all the volunteers at church. They are serving the body. They are bringing their part to the body. Whether it's going out there with chariots and outreaching and praying for the lost and bringing them in, they are out there doing ministry. Can you see? They aren't necessarily called to the fivefold, but they're doing ministry. It's for all, and it's available for all. And that's what I want you to see. Now, there's two things, two areas I believe every single one of us are called to ministry in. Number one, to minister one to another. And number two, to minister to the lost. We'll say that again. We are each and every single one of us. If I got off this and put pastor on the side and said, right, I'm just a normal saint. Don't know if I could ever be normal again, but normal saint. Okay? Two things. To minister one to another. Hey, do you have a need, my brother? Can I pray with you? Financially, I don't have. I'm gonna pray into that. We're going to find a way. We're going to make a way for you. Sick. You're sick. I'm going to pray for you, Gordy. We're going to believe health and healing to flow. David, you're coming out to hospital. You're coming out to hospital, my brother. Every single one of us. Can you imagine how more effective we would be as a body if we all got involved as the church family and ministered one unto another? Amen? Guess what? It wasn't just left for the pastors to minister. Old Testament, the priest had to minister to God, to the people. That veil is torn. God has a gift established to the body to equip, train, and prepare to do the work of the ministry. We all have access to it. You with me? Look at Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 3, 6, and 8. Verse 3 says this, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly as God has felt to each one a measure of faith." Or dealt. Felt. It should be felt. Anyway. So what that measure of faith is talking about is actually talking about spiritual gift. So God, what it's saying is, don't lift yourself up when the gift of prophecy starts flowing through you, when the gift of ministry starts flowing through you, when the gift of worship flows through you, when the gift of healing flows through you, whatever the gift is, whatever God starts doing in your life, says, don't think higher than you ought to, because it's Him that distributes it. Don't set yourself up for a fall. Remain rooted. You know, I believe with the worship team, there's going to come something's going to happen. The sound's going to come from this platform. I'm believing it, we're calling it, and we're going to see it happen. But let me tell you, be rooted. It's not about record deals. It's not about fame. It's about fame to Him, glorifying Him, that people can have an encounter with heaven through the song. If we have a prayer line, yeah, and there's miracles happening every week, we got to stay rooted. Never to get into a place of pride, thinking, oh God, I'm the man, I'm chosen. That sets you up for a fall. I like what Pastor Tony says, you're going to get ready to eat grass. It's in the Bible, go read it if you don't know the story. Anyway, verse 6, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. See, we're all different. Don't be intimidated by the person next to you. I'm comfortable in me. I can't sing. I asked the Lord why. I've always dreamt about playing guitar, singing to my wife. But I'd hurt her. So I don't. I just encourage her. I'm good at that. Amen? I'm not insecure. And that's how we need to be. Don't be insecure about the person next to you. Pastor Tony is great at just speaking to anybody and everybody. Sometimes he slows me down. I'm like, I need to get there. Can we hurry up? And he's spoken to 10 people in the mall. And I'm like, I just want to go get a coffee. But that's his gift. I'm not intimidated by it. Amen. So each one of us, to use them accordingly, if someone has the gift of prophecy, prophesy. Okay? In proportion to the faith possessed. If service, in the act of serving, we heard about all the greeters, all the volunteers. If he who teaches, in the act of teaching. I mean, Irene, you did such a fantastic job. I want to honor you. I think you're a better teacher than I am. But you did a fantastic job for the H1s. And the H2s are coming. I would encourage and challenge every single person to sign up for it. Did I sell that all right? He who encourages, the act of encouragement, our Thrive Group leaders. We've been to some Thrive Groups, and they are encouraging people amazingly. Yeah. It's so awesome. If you're not connected to a Thrive Group, get connected. If my shoulder isn't connected, it's going to die and fall off. Get connected. Get plugged in somewhere. He who gives, give with generosity. We have the most generous people in this house. And we are believing for increase, not just for the church, for you. If you increase, we increase. If we increase, you increase. It's a life cycle. Amen? And he who shows mercy in caring for others, let them do it with cheerfulness. We have an amazing pastoral care team in this church. They give up their time. They will phone people. They will pray with people on the phone. They will love people. They will just have coffee. They love having coffee, by the way. So that's probably why they're good. Okay? Won't look any direction, Robin. But anyway, Sally. Moving right along. So, can you see that there's a place for everybody, that we're all called to minister one unto another? It's not the priests, it's not the pastors, it's not the fivefold that are doing all the work. It's you all that are doing the work. That's how you get growth in the kingdom. Amen? 1 Corinthians 14, 26, it says this, "How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, let all things be done with edification." Can you see once again? When we come together, we come to minister one unto another. Even if you're getting together for a coffee somewhere, it doesn't have to be in a church setting. But when we come together, are we allowing God to flow through us to minister one unto another?
But in a church setting, look what verse 40 says, let all things be done decently and in order. Fivefold is there to make sure there's order and structure in everything happening, especially on a Sunday service. I've been to meetings where it is chaotic. I've been to meetings that's chaotic because there was no order in the service. Let me just say this. The Holy Spirit never wants to disrupt a whole service so you can have a moment. Can I preach? You can switch on and switch off when you feel. Sometimes the flesh kicks in and we keep running with it. You need to be so sensitive to what is the things of God and what is not. Hence, you have a fivefold. Not to control or stifle, to make sure there's order always. Because God is a God of order. Amen? Everything is always for edification, always done orderly. We are creating pathways in the church that we can start moving down the direction of this type of empowering, lifting up. We don't see the whole picture as a leadership yet, but God is downloading little by little, and we're moving down a path. We started with Thrive groups, which are starting to connect the body. We're starting with pathways, your H1, going to H2 next. When the Lord shows us what the next subjects are, Irene, it's coming. You're going to walk by faith. Listen, don't try to figure it all out. Just walk by faith. Amen? So we're busy putting things to God is busy doing something. He's busy molding His church in here. And I'm believing that we're going to see an awesome, awesome expression of heaven and Jesus Christ in this place with this body. Because you all are part of that same body. Don't be rejected. Don't dislocate yourself. Be connected to it. Because you're going to miss out. I know what's coming. Something amazing is coming. Don't miss out. I want to encourage you. Don't miss out. You know, I was thinking one other way to minister one unto another. Thinking about communion this morning. You know what? I've heard a lot of times, and a lot of people think that, you know, we've got to get up. And we have a once a month where we do a family communion, and we'll lead everybody through it. But you know what? You minister communion one unto another. When you see somebody that's new here, you grab them in and say, I want to talk to you about the blood. And, you know, don't preach an hour. Just take 5 minutes. We'll wait for you. But minister to them. Bring them in. That's doing the work of the ministry. That's ministering one unto another. I'm showing you some practical things that are every week that we can be involved in. You don't have to go register a trademark and go out and I'm a prophet Scott. Come to me for a word. No, you don't have to go do that. Just be available. Lay hands, speak a word, encourage, exhort, make food, make coffee, ride bike, whatever. You know, if you have a heart for prayer, pray for the house. Tuesday night, we have prayer meetings. Come. I need lots of prayer. Pray for me. I'm not joking. I need lots of prayer. The second thing I'm going to leave you with, since you love when you've got an honest father-in-law. Yes, you do, mate. Thank God for honest people in my life. Jesus, help me. So the first thing, ministering one unto another. The second thing, ministering to the lost. Every single one of us are called to do that. You see, he says here in Mark 16, 15 and 17 through 18, and he said to them, go into the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and these signs will follow those who believe. Now, let me ask you this. Do we have believers in the house? Yes. So do you believe what the word says will happen? So he says, if you believe and you go, this will happen. In my name, they will cast out demons. Heritage of Faith, you will cast out demons. You will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents and drink any deadly. Now, let me just pause you there before. I know we've got radical people here. Don't go drink poison in demonstration of God's power. If you look that up, what it's talking about, there were times when missionaries were going to disease-infested places, and that sickness and disease would not come on them. Don't drink poison, because one of the other people in the church will have to be sent to you to raise you from the dead. We stir gifts, but in a more common sense way, right? And it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Amen. There's nothing in there that says might, should, could, depending on the mood of God, depending on the time and season. And it's not the time for signs, wonders, and miracles. Now is the time for signs, wonders, and miracles. The day Jesus went to the cross, he said, now is the time, church. Go forth, preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, get them born again, make disciples of all the nations. Now is the time. Not tomorrow. Not when he comes back. It's too late then. Amen. Remember, you're not the healer. He's the healer. He's just looking for a vessel to flow through. It's the work of Jesus in us, flowing through us. Can I ask the worship team to come up, if you don't mind? Thank you. I'm going to leave you with one more scripture. I'm excited. Amen. I believe God wants to do something. God wants to do something. Look around you. And I want you all to prophesy to the empty seats. This will be the last Sunday that we see one empty seat. Prophesied. This will be the last Sunday we see one empty seat. Who's responsible? Say, I am. I was waiting for some clever person to say, you are. I'll start my sermon from the beginning. Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went away. Here's just for you to know, you thought there were 12. The one was hanging. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. What was he saying? When you've come in, you've been prepared, you've been equipped, you've been nurtured, right? Now go and duplicate yourself in somebody else. Because Jesus came to multiply himself. He was the first fruit of many. When you bring your first fruit, there should be many that come after that. So he was the first fruit of many brethren. So if we are brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, a representation of Jesus Christ on this planet, he's saying, when you're equipped, when you're ready, when you're built up, now go out and do the same. That is the life cycle of Christianity. Then he says, repeat, bring them in, get them planted, get them equipped, send them out. Bring them in, get them prepared, get them ready, send them out. That's the life cycle. That brings life into the body. It brings multiplication into the body. It brings growth into the body. Why are we believing for 500? Because that means we're doing something. We haven't stayed at 300. We've multiplied. If we grow, that means we're doing what we're supposed to do. Sorry, let me rephrase it. That was incorrect. If we grow, that means you're doing what you're supposed to do. Don't, just love me. I'm preaching the word. Don't you all look at me like that. Amen? You know, in Vision Sunday, the Lord gave me a word. Add, connect, grow. That's actually three words. I didn't do mass well. Three words. Add, connect, grow. He says, when you bring them in, you've added them. When you get them connected, they planted. And when you grow them, they're being discipled. Three words. That was the word he gave me. Vision Sunday. Add, connect, grow. Add, connect, grow. And when you say it a few times, it becomes like a heartbeat. And I believe that's the heartbeat God wants to start pumping in this place amongst every single one of us. Amen. Amen. Just stand up for a few moments. Spirit. If you're visiting for the first time, or you've been here and you feel, you know what, Sean, I don't even know Jesus. I don't know if I died tomorrow, I would go to heaven. I'm a good person. But you know, the Bible says that those that believe in the Lord and confess Him, He will confess you before the Father. And it's you that become born again, spirit-filled, adopted into the family of God. If that's you and you feel, I'm not sure if I died, if I'd go to heaven, where I'd go. You know, the Holy Spirit, He seals it. He confirms it in our heart. And if you're feeling a hesitation, then I'd like to pray for you this morning. Can I ask, while every head is bowed, every eye closed, if I'm talking to you this morning, can you just raise your hand? If you're unsure, yes, thank you, I see those two hands. If you're uncertain in any way, even if you feel, Lord, Sean, I just want to come back. I just want to rededicate. I want to get back on fire for Jesus. Can I pray for you? Yes, I see that. And thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. one more time. Anybody else? Even you on live stream. If that's you, could I ask everybody to pray this after me? Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Today, I turn my life around. I acknowledge you as Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. Make me a new creation in Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit, come upon me. Lead me into what I need to do for you in Jesus' name. If you guys prayed that, you are born again, new creations in Christ Jesus. All angels are rejoicing right now for you three at the back there and you, sir. So I just want to honor you. Thank you. I'd love to come and say hello to you at the back when we come out. I want to pray this with you quickly. Can you all just lift your hands and just pray this after me? Father, forgive us where we have been complacent in the things of God, in the things of the Spirit. Help us today be bold, be led by you, and do what you've called us to do as a church family in this place, in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you just give God praise today for what He's doing? I want to encourage you. Come and see the pastors. If you go, I don't know what my gifting is. I'm not sure. Come and see one of us. Let's talk and find ways that we can start helping you develop what's in your heart. Get connected with the body. The church is here as a family to be connected with. It would be horrible if I had family and we never did stuff together. I would be so dislocated from my family. I feel like such a void. It's just a title, like I've got family, but we don't connect. This is your church family. This is where God has sent you and planted you. And He has everything you need in this soil with the people around you and what comes from this platform, I believe.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast from Heritage of Faith on the Gold Coast of Australia. If you have any questions or would simply like to know more about our church, please contact us via our website at www.heritageoffaith.com.au. Have a blessed week.